Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A lot of challenges for getting an accurate census count these days on top of everything else that's happened in 2020. This is also the year of the census. It's in the Constitution that every 10 years, the government has to collect a head count for every person living in the United States. And right now, with the pandemic, also with the economic fallout, mass evictions underway, distrust from the government, from the community, all sorts of issues that are preventing getting an accurate head count. So what can we do? What's happening in San Antonio? How do we check in with the census count? You can call in with your questions and comments. Have you filled out the census form? What was it like? And why do you think some people are reluctant to do so? How do you think we can contact and reach out to those people? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined by Dennis Johnson, Deputy Regional Director for the U.S. Census Bureau Denver-Dallas Region. That includes all of Texas. And Dennis Johnson, welcome to The Source.
Good afternoon, David, and thank you for having us this afternoon.
Also with us, Selena Pena, a co-chair of the San Antonio and Bexar County Complete Count Committee. Selena Pena, good to have you.
Thanks for having us today.
And Kelly Percival is with us, counsel in the Democracy Project at the Brenham Center for Justice at New York University. Kelly, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Dennis Johnson, if you could give us an update on where are we right now, just in a timeline, because I thought we had already done the census, but we're still doing it. I mean, what's happening?
We are still doing it. And in fact, folks can still do the census online if they haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. Online, make a phone call or send in a paper form. We're at the stage of the process now where we normally would have been back in May. And that is starting our follow-up with those households that have not yet had the opportunity to respond. And that process is going to start just within the next few weeks, in not only through San Antonio area, but all throughout Texas. And again, we'll be visiting those households that have not yet had the opportunity to respond. Local workers, local census takers will be knocking on doors. They'll be talking to the residents and collecting the same information as if you were responding online or by telephone.
But even during the pandemic, people will be making these person-to-person visits, Dennis Johnson?
That is correct. We will be making the visits, but of course we're taking every precaution to make sure that we're not putting our workers or the residents in harm's way. And by that I mean we'll be wearing masks. As after we knock or ring a doorbell, we'll be stepping back at least 6 feet or wherever it's appropriate to be and still be able to be heard. There's no exchange. There needs to be no contact between the workers and the residents. And it's simply a very short process. So we trust that those procedures will keep everyone safe in this process and yet will allow us to do our constitutional duty to collect all the information we need.
A person who is going to a house to follow up on the census, is there something that they would have or be wearing that would immediately identify them as a legitimate U.S. Census worker?
Sure. The most important thing they will have is an ID badge with their picture. This is something that we have not been able to do before during a census process, so I think it's going to help to identify our workers. It will be an official Department of Commerce Census Bureau badge with the Census Bureau watermark in the background, and it will have their name and a picture of the worker. They will also be carrying a smartphone, which is used only for the purposes of the census, and they will be collecting the information on that phone. So that's how they will be noticed, and certainly they will be local workers, people that are familiar with their own communities and their own neighborhoods, and for practical reasons, we try to keep them working as close to home as possible.
Will the census worker have a reason to go into the house, or will they do the whole exchange on the porch?
Their instructions would be to stay on the porch or outside of the house, certainly if the resident insists or has an issue that requires them to step inside, they may, but only upon invitation and only if there's a need. And for the most part, they can take care of what they're doing right on the porch or at the door that they've knocked on.
How long should an exchange take place?
We say 10 minutes, and very honestly, many of them will take less time than that. Of course, it does depend on how many people live in the household, because you're asking specific questions, birth dates and gender for each individual in the household. So if a large household will take a little bit longer, but for a typical household, it will take 10 minutes or less.
And how are we doing right now compared to last decade or other, what our expectations were?
Well, actually, nationally, we've already heard from about 62.4% of all households. So we're over the halfway mark. And as I said before, we're continuing to collect that information as people have the opportunity. So we hope that that number will rise. The remaining percentage are the houses that we'll be visiting. And some of those will be unoccupied houses. They'll be vacant at the time. And that's why we haven't gotten a response. But the remainder will be talking to those residents. So 62.5% is about where we thought we would be. That was our projection. Again, we still hope to garner more responses, so we hope to go over that. The state of Texas is running a little bit behind that. As of last Friday, I think it was, the state was at 57.3% of the households had responded. Now, San Antonio and Bexar County were looking a little better. San Antonio, 59%. Which is still below the national average, but yet higher than the Texas average. Bexar County, a little bit higher even yet at 61%. So we're hoping that those numbers continue to go up as we visit the households.
Some person listening might think, 61%, 59%, that's pretty good. But each one of those percentages that are lacking, what does that represent and why is that a big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal. When I mentioned Bexar County, I can give you a number. That's the number that have not yet responded is somewhere in the neighborhood of 330,000 housing units. So that's how many doors we have to knock on. So even though we're talking about more have responded than not, we still have a number of households that we need to visit and knock on doors. So those are some pretty high numbers, and it will take quite a few workers throughout the county, throughout Texas, to accomplish all of what we need to do.
Selena Pena, co-chair of the San Antonio Bexar County Complete Count Committee. What's happening right now? These are the days when the rubber meets the road for the census.
Right, and as you alluded to earlier, there's so much going on in today's world that the census, while deeply important, is almost secondary to some of the situations we face. And as part of the complete count, we've set a goal as a committee to increase the response rate to at least 67% before the enumerators go out, as Dennis reflected on August 11th. We were actually at 60% 2 weeks ago, so 1% up is actually a feat for us as it relates to just getting folks to take a very simple questionnaire. As Dennis reflected, it's super easy. It takes maybe maximum 15, 20 minutes on your iPhone or on a computer or even at Bibliotech. If you do need access to computers. As a committee, we have focused on really several areas, from door hangers to street banners to gas pump ads to via transit to mobile marketing as well. As we all know, congregations of people have reduced the amount of social and physical activity as we knew it before COVID. So taking extra resources and placing them in really areas that need to move up from a very low response rate to a low response rate, and those that are at a low response rate to move them up to a medium or a high response rate. As Dennis reflected, Texas is at 57.3. Bexar County and San Antonio are doing better. But as a state, we are ranked 39th out of 50 states in our response ranking. So we have a lot of work to do, and everyone needs to be counted.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Elizabeth is on the line. And Elizabeth, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Morning. Thanks, David, for the program. I have a question. About 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I got my census form in the mail, filled it out, mailed it in, and recently I got a second form. So I'm wondering, does that mean my was not received, was not counted, or are they doing duplicate mailings just in the interim?
Elizabeth, thank you for the call. Selena Pena, can you answer that?
I'm going to punt this over to Dennis.
All right, Dennis Johnson.
Yes, I can answer that. Actually, it doesn't mean they did not receive your form. They most likely did receive it. However, two things happen here. Number one, they have all of these mailings kind of queued up and ready to go, and they can't stop and remove those that have already that have just recently responded. So that's likely what happened in Elizabeth's case. And basically, it's an attempt to allow people want an additional opportunity to respond if they hadn't responded sooner. So that's a perfectly normal step, and it's just a matter of timing that we weren't able to eliminate some of those households that responded recently.
So if you did the census, you sent it off, and then you get another request, you could just toss that in the trash, and that's not a problem. Would you get
that's
in trouble if you filled it out again and sent it in? Could you
get... Absolutely not. We will make sure that we're unduplicating any multiple responses. And certainly that happens sometimes when one person in the household responds and another person doesn't know that they've responded, so therefore we receive two. But we have processes that go through and unduplicate those so that we make sure we're not counting folks twice.
Selena Pena, are these forms coming out in English and Spanish?
Yes, and the census has done a great job. They can actually access beyond the Spanish and English. Dennis's team across Texas, but also the nation, have you can actually call and get assistance for translation as well. So people should not be shy about going to the census. Also, what Dennis reflected, there is a code for you to plug in. So that helps the census know not to keep doing the outreach if you go online to complete it as well.
And how long will all this be happening, Dennis Johnson? How long can we expect people will be knocking on doors?
We're planning that process will take anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks. Our final date for people to respond is October 31st. And even if they haven't responded at this point, they can still go online or make a phone call and respond. And we will accept those responses through October 31st. We hope that our census takers have completed their work before that time. But yet we know that there might be some households we still haven't been able to reach after multiple tries, and that they still have that opportunity to fill out the information.
Dennis Johnson, some states put in money to work with the census to get a complete count. Texas did not. California spent millions and millions of dollars, nothing from the state of Texas. Are we seeing how that's making a difference in getting these getting a good response?
You know, that's not for us to determine, and
we're taking a break, and when we come back from The Source, we'd like to hear about your census experience. What's stopping you, or are you unsure about completing the survey? What questions you about how the census matters to Texas and San Antonio? What's happening during the pandemic? How is the COVID-19 outbreak making it harder to get the census numbers count? What about general distrust of the government and also mass evictions? Is that going to play a role in the census as well? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the census and how to make it count, and what about our vulnerable communities that we have here in San Antonio and across the nation. Why is it important that we get a buy-in from everyone in the U.S. in order to participate in the census? Let's talk to Kelly Percival, the Counsel for the Democracy Program at the Brenham Center for Justice at New York University. And what do you see happening with communities, particularly communities of color? Kelly?
Sure. So I would say we're seeing a couple things going on. We actually knew before the COVID pandemic hit that communities of color have some concerns about filling out the census. Census Bureau's own surveys have said that communities of color and immigrant households in particular are scared that their census responses might somehow be used against them, and they're not going to remain confidential. So that's a huge concern that people have had, and is really preventing people from filling out their forms. Luckily, the response to that is that the laws on confidentiality are incredibly strong. The Federal Census Act makes it illegal for the Census Bureau to disclose census responses in any way that can personally identify a census respondent. And it's also illegal for the Census Bureau to disclose any census responses to other government agencies. So, you know, they can't take your responses and turn them over to ICE or Department of Homeland Security. All that would be patently illegal. And those protections are in place precisely to make sure that people are comfortable filling out the census.
We've seen the Commerce Department, which is responsible for operating the census, Kelly, not being exactly truthful when it comes to explaining why they have adopted some processes, particularly when it came to a question of citizenship on the census. Where are we now with that issue?
Sure. So that there were lawsuits filed against the citizenship question decision, and it is definitively not on the 2020 census form. There is no citizenship question. It in no way asks about immigration status. And so you're right. I mean, that was a strategic effort by the Trump administration to make people fearful of filling out the form. So luckily, that is not an obstacle anymore. However, a lot of the damage was done. You know, that was a year and a half long fight getting that question off of the census. We knew it was going to lead to about 9 million people not filling out their forms. So it was really important to win that. But now we're in a situation where there's a lot of confusion around it. And some people think it's still going to show up on the census form. And that is just not the case right now.
President Trump recently announced that he will order that the census numbers of only U.S. citizens will be used to decide how we draw the maps for Congress, which is an important role for the census. How do you arrive at that without asking a citizenship question?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'll actually step back. The number one point about the recent announcement last week that they're going to some way attempt to remove undocumented persons from the count, that is patently unconstitutional.
Can you explain why that is?
Absolutely. The Constitution is very clear. It says the census must count, quote, the whole number of persons. It doesn't say the census counts all citizens. It doesn't say we count all lawful permanent residents. It says we count all persons in the country who are living here. So it's just, you cannot remove the undocumented population. That's unconstitutional. And my second point on that would be that the president, even if he were proposing something that is constitutional, he actually doesn't have the legal authority to just go ahead and change the numbers. So what he's proposing to do is have the Census Bureau send him the state population totals, including the undocumented population, and then somehow remove undocumented people from the count himself. How he would get any sort of reliably accurate data on the undocumented population, that's completely unclear. Many people in the statistical community don't think that you can get accurate enough data to do that, even if it were legal. But at the end of the day, it's simply not legal.
There are some people who theorize, they have a theory in some spheres of communications that the founders would have intended not to count people who were not documented, that they didn't know about undocumented people, and that they just said persons, but they really meant citizens.
Well,
when you look at how careful the Constitution was written about who gets counted, Indians who pay taxes are counted, but, you know, things like that. There's a lot of precision in how this was drafted in the Constitution.
Right. And the 14th Amendment, I mean, that's the one that discusses people. If you're born in this country, you are a citizen. It actually uses the word citizen in a different part of that amendment. And then a couple clauses later, it says the census must count all persons. So, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that was a conscious decision. They used citizens in this part and they used persons in this part because they did not include, they did not intend to exclude undocumented persons or non-citizens from the count.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we're joined by Kyle. And Kyle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering if there's going to be any extra precautions taken in regard to cybersecurity. I think that there's a lot of cyber threats out there that we are going to become aware of if we aren't already. And even the tech companies, I know that they're struggling to keep it under control. So how are we going to keep our data safe and private and respect people's privacy? Are there any extra precautions being taken given the environment?
All right, Kyle, thank you for that. Dennis Johnson, Deputy Regional Director for the U.S. Census Bureau's Denver-Dallas region, including all of Texas. What about cybersecurity on the census info?
Well, that's something that we've actually thought about over the last 10 years, as a matter of fact. And not only have we been thinking about it, but the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, and virtually every other agency that that collects information or shares information electronically. We've been thinking a lot about it, and knowing that the census is a huge effort and the census is so critically important to as a foundation of our democracy, we have taken every single precaution in ensuring that the data has been protected as it's completed either online. Certainly we do the same with our phone-in information. And as our census takers are working out, knocking on doors and collecting the information is encrypted virtually as soon as they enter it into their device. And so what's being transmitted is nothing that anyone could interpret in any case. So certainly we have concerns, and we also have hired people to try to break in. Believe it or not, we have workers that are trying to hack our own systems, but I think that's true of just about any large organization that shares information on the internet, and we believe it's as safe as it can possibly be right at this point. So we have very few concerns about that.
Let's go to another caller, Jane, and Jane, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Are you still hiring census takers or census workers? Thank you.
All right, Jane. Thank you for that. Dennis Johnson. Can you answer that?
We actually are, and we're still having people apply on our website, and we're in the process now of selecting the largest group of workers that we're going to employ throughout this entire process. Many of them have already been contacted. Some of them are in the process of being trained. But we know as we go through this process, many will have to drop out for various reasons. We never intended to be still working at this level this late in the year. And we know some of these folks have other commitments that start in the fall, and they will be dropping out. Therefore, we have to have people ready to replace them. So the answer is indeed yes. And we will be selecting and hiring people for the next month or two.
How's it pay?
The pay is actually very good. We've looked at pay rates throughout the nation, and we've adjusted them by county to kind of fit whatever the going pay rate is for that county. Some of them go as high as $25 per hour for the basic census taker position. and then the supervisory positions even are higher than that. In other counties where the prevailing wage rate may not be quite as high, the pay rates are maybe more in the $17 to $18 per hour range, but even that, in many cases, you can't find other jobs in those areas for that pay rate. And of course, if you use a vehicle, you're reimbursed for mileage and expenses on your car. So many people find it to be a suitable pay rate, and right now, many people are in need of that work. So we hope that we can help them out.
All right, and another caller. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, I've already filled out the census, and it just seemed like it was a lot easier, shorter, and just very quick to get through this year than it was 10 years ago, and I'm wondering if that's accurate.
And Selena Pena, can you answer that? Has the census gotten shorter and easier?
It definitely has moved into a much shorter process and application. We sat down as a family and did it, I think, within 10 minutes. And so there obviously have been conversations as the Brennan Center and the census have tried to find the right balance for people to be responsive. We know that when things are too long, though, sometimes people don't respond. So, yes, it has changed. And we're hoping it's for the betterment of the census as well.
About how many questions are on it, Dennis?
I think there are 10 questions and then one catch-all question, and that is, have we missed anyone else who might be living or staying here? So they're all very basic. You know the information right off the top of your head.
Not intrusive, just basic information. Who lives here? Who are they? What are their ages? What are their genders? That type of questions?
Absolutely. And we ask about racial and ethnic background.
All right, well, we'll dive more into that when we come back from the break. What's happening with the COVID-19 outbreak? What are some of the local challenges that faces San Antonio? Why is this so important? If we don't get a complete count, how could we be missing out? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Drug wars in Mexico run deeper than clashes between cartels.
If you follow the money in this, it takes you far away from these stereotypical portrayals of drug traffickers and their hitmen. And it takes you to corporate boardrooms, it takes you to Wall Street, it takes you to London, it takes you to Switzerland.
Examining violence in Mexico, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the census count and why San Antonio, Bexar County, Texas, participating in this is actually important to quality of life for you. And what questions or what challenges do you have? What do you think are some of the reasons why some people are reluctant to fill out the census? Do you have any ideas on why, how that can be addressed? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Kelly Percival, counsel at the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University. You wrote an article about Make Black Lives Count, about how a full count of Black communities this year's census is critical for dismantling a systematic racial, you know, inequalities that we have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this also is easily duplicated into talking about Latinos as well. But what are your main points?
Well, so the main points are that we know from being able to study censuses in the past that it has never fully counted everyone. However, that's more true for communities of color. So when we're talking about the Black community, or the Black population in the United States, we know that the 2010 and the 2000 censuses actually managed to undercount them by about 2%. The 1990 census undercounted the Black population by about 5%. And at the same time, they managed to overcount the white population. So what does this translate to? This translates to the white population actually getting more political representation and more funding for essential services like healthcare, infrastructure, and public schools. while communities of color, Black communities, Hispanic communities, these communities that we know are consistently undercounted, are getting less funding for all of those essential needs.
Selena Pena, co-chair of...
Actually, in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's laid bare, these inequalities that have always existed, but it's really just underscored the importance of having Black political power for charting a more just and equitable course for the country.
Selena Pena, co-chair of the San Antonio Bexar County Complete Count Committee. This seems to really address where you're coming from in many ways. You're trying to have a complete count for all of San Antonio, but certainly it seems that in the Latino communities that the challenges can be tougher.
Definitely, as it relates to just communities of color, David, we've seen the challenge, and that's why when we think about some of the questions you've had about, how do people approach the household during COVID, I think, the census actually has a COVID response on how to do that so people feel safe. At the same time, they're hiring people within the community. That is helpful, but we do need people to apply, as he was reflecting as well. And while I just want to go back to your question about, California and Texas investment in the census, and the national average right now is 62.4% rate. Texas, as Kevin reflected, is 57. California is at 63.6%. So if you think about, when you invest in communities, you're taking a look at how are you reaching the hardest populations to make sure they're being counted. And it's important for everyone to be able to think through how they can help their community by filling out a very simple form that can help draw down money so that we can build more schools, have better public transportation, and things of that nature.
Dennis Johnson, Deputy Regional Director for the U.S. Census Bureau's Dallas, Denver region. It seems like as you're trying to do this incredible project, the ground is shifting beneath your feet, particularly when it comes with so many evictions during this crisis. People are moving around, and that can make your job even all the more harder, I imagine.
It certainly does. And in fact, the farther we get from Census Day, which was way back April 1st, and I think for most of us, that seems like a lifetime ago. It's really harder to reconstruct what was there on April 1st, which is what our mission is, our goal is. But we have a good understanding among not only our workers, but hopefully through organizations such as the groups that Selena is working with, that is what we're shooting for. And that is what people have to understand. And we want to recreate what was there on April 1st so that we have a level playing field for everybody. But certainly we do have our challenges. And I think that many distractions going on right now. But thanks to groups that are partners, we've been able to increase the importance and awareness of the census throughout the community. And hopefully that will help us in the end to get good cooperation.
Kelly Percival, in your paper, Make Black Lives Count, you document how there's a history of undercounting with communities of color and overcounting in white communities. And right now we're seeing one of the challenges for getting a complete count is the politicization of the U.S. Census. And that might be one reason why Texas refused to do any investment in trying to have a count. How would that benefit the state government or the leaders of the state to not invest in the census? I mean, how the politics of this, what's their calculus look like?
That one actually, I think that's a good question. I don't know the answer. I think that it doesn't benefit any government because again, and for every single person who goes uncounted, you're losing money and political representation, but at the end of the day, I unfortunately don't have the numbers for Texas, but I know in California, for every child who's missed, it's about $1,000 per year for a school district for one kid. So when you're talking about 1,000 children missed, those numbers really add up. So I don't see the census as a red or a blue issue. As much as people might try to politicize it, it really only hurts your own communities when people don't get counted.
But there are some people who are willing to hurt their own community as long as it helps their sub-community. Let's go to Sam on the phones. Sam, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Quick question on the constitutional requirements of the census. The Constitution that I read says we are required to count all free persons. It doesn't specify citizens in that. The president is saying he wants to count just citizens only. How does that work?
And so I'm going to go ahead and go back to Kelly Percival on this, if you can help us thread that needle.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Constitution says you have to count all persons. It doesn't say citizens. So what the president's proposing to do is blatantly unconstitutional.
But that seems like it would communicate to people who it's just another matter of the distrust issue that people have, Kelly. It just adds to that.
Yeah, it might be, I don't know why he's proposing it, but it is just another tactic to make people fearful of filling out the census. And so I would say to fight back against that, the best thing you can do is fill out your census form.
And why, I'm asking you to speculate, Kelly, the president of the United States, it says he took a duty to enforce the Constitution, and it's in the Constitution, and you're saying that he may be encouraging or trying to create an atmosphere where people are reluctant to fill out the census.
Right. It's just another fear tactic. I mean, we've seen them try to propose a citizenship question. This is just another step in that process, trying to politicize something that really shouldn't be about politics.
Selena Pena, co-chair of the San Antonio and Bexar County Complete Count Committee. What are some of those challenges that you have here in Bexar County in trying to meet your goals?
So we, before COVID-19 hit, we actually put together a fundraising strategy to help grassroots organizations and raised over $300,000 to complement the services that they provide to priority communities, specifically low to moderate income neighborhoods and those that need just additional support and understanding of something that sometimes is seen as complex. So we've worked with Central Med, we've worked with Presentation Ministries, KLRN, Mexican American Unity Council, Thrive Youth, Raices, Martinez Street Women's Center, Naleo, and Disability SA to, infuse not a lot, but some resources that the state opted not to do so that we are able to, again, persevere in getting as close to a complete count as we can. And when we think about Texas at 57, our teams have done a tremendous job of being able to be above the Texas number, which is at 61%. So resources, community members who are still serving their client base despite the current situation has been one of our strengths, we believe, as a complete count committee.
And Dennis Johnson, when is the census done? When do you get to go home?
That's an excellent question. The collection part of it should be done by October 31st. That's the goal we have. We've all learned that we can't predict the future. We've learned that over the last several months. But if we can continue on the route we're going right now, we should be done by the end of October with the collection part. It will take a number of months to tabulate and go through the processes to make sure that the data is accurate. We have asked Congress for an extension through April 30th to release the population counts by state. So that would give us some additional time to ensure that the numbers are going to be accurate. And truthfully, that's the most important thing, is the accuracy of the census.
Where do people go online, Dennis, to participate if they haven't done so yet?
They can go to our website, www.2020census.gov.
All right. Dennis Johnson, Deputy Regional Director for the U.S. Census Bureau's Dallas-Denver region. Selena Pena, thank you, co-chair of the San Antonio-Bexar County Complete Count Committee. Also with us, Kelly Percival, counsel for the Democracy Program at the Brenham Center for Justice at New York University. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.